We were in Nairobi. Michael's uncle, Pastor Omondi, was having some meetings at their church, Dove Church, and I had it in my lap. We stood up to sing, so I set it down in my chair. We got done singing, and I went, and I didn't just break the screen, mind you. I bent the iPad. Yeah. Now, I think I have insurance on it. See, when I bought it, I am reasonably sure that I got insurance on that. Reasonably sure. So I'm going to check it tomorrow. But I've got this really neat slide presentation, pictures and everything like that, and I got to figure out how to get them up on that screen because this doesn't connect to it. So we'll do our best, though. Amen? Yeah. Word of advice to all my brothers and sisters, don't sit on your iPad. Oh, what do you know, John? And then I had a story I was going to read you this morning. It came out on, let me see if I can pull that up on my phone. It came out on Drudge Report about a church in Oklahoma. It's really interesting. Hang on a second. Yeah. Let's see here. About 80% of the people in Oklahoma refer to themselves as Christian. And Oklahoma is where this guy picked to build a Satanist church in Oklahoma City. Here's the headline. Now I'm gonna read this, so just go. This is the headline. Inside America's devil-worshipping church, where Satan lovers burn Bibles and use, I'm gonna substitute a word here, female blood for rituals in the heart of the U.S. Bible Belt. Do you get what I'm saying there? A high priest at one of America's most prominent devil-worshipping churches has lifted the lid on the secretive religion. Adam Daniels is the high priest of the Church of Ahriman, based in Oklahoma City. It has a whopping membership of 15 people. And they have a picture of him, and of all things, he's got a goat head on the wall, and he's got all kinds of satanic stuff. And then, Pastor Rock of India would love this, there is a painting of Shiva, the blue devil god. And there's no doubt in my mind that Shiva's a devil. But anyway, the church's followers meet in Daniel's home, where he's converted a storage room into the ritual chamber in which he performs ceremonies including devil-worshipping weddings, and satanic exorcisms. How does that work? You invite every devil on the planet to your house and then cast them out? It's actually a king, yes, you can, a kingdom divided against itself. There are satanic church rituals to cast out devils. Now, these are going to be low-ranking devils. That's how you know, Laura. See, I've wrestled with this a long time. How does the Catholic Church cast out devils? Because they obviously do. So how does that work? Either they're a true religion, or Jesus made a point, and he got it right. He said, if I by Beelzebub do cast out Beelzebub, He said, a house divided against itself shall not stand. And here's the thing. There's no honor among thieves. There is no... When we think of the beast, his kingdom, the Illuminati, secret societies, Catholic, you think that all these groups are working together to bring about the devil's kingdom. It's true that they're all working, but they work against each other. That's how we know their kingdom is going to fall. It's divided against itself. Okay? So, yes, there are satanic practitioners who cast out devils. They don't, and they're, it's like the Catholic Church's ban on Freemasonry. You would think that they would go along with each other, right? No. They hate each other. They just, and you know why? Because each group is trying to gain control and power. And when you've got seven, see, the beast has seven heads. And understand that. Seven individual thought processes trying to control one body, it's not going to work. It's like trying to have, seven presidents of the United States all control the country. It's not going to work. It's going to fall apart. And so there's no doubt that they cast out devils, but they are divided. They are divided. A house divided against itself. Okay? So anyway, here's what I wanted to get. This guy converted to Satanism, and here's what happened to him. He was a convenience store clerk, and a guy came in to rob the store. And let's see here. He had already stabbed one guy with a knife, the attacker, the robber. And when he went for the clerk of the convenience store, the guy did some sort of judo move on him, and when he slammed his body to the ground, the attacker's head just burst open, and it killed him instantly. So it kind of bothered him a little bit, so he's going to different religions trying to find peace from this nightmare of having this guy killed. And he claims that even the Christian churches told him that he should have turned the other cheek. Whoever told him that told him a lie. Whoever told him that if I believe his story, the guy's a Satan worshiper. You can't, these are not to be depended on to tell the truth about everything. But he said as a result of that, he finally finds in the one religion this idea that bolsters his confidence in himself and what he did. And apparently there is a, he finds in Satanism a law in the Satanic Bible that says self-preservation is the highest law. Now, the exact opposite of that is Bible Christianity, and they love not their lives even unto the death. Okay? And so, had he come to me, I would have told him, you did the right thing, and let me show you Scripture why. But he turns to Satanism. His wife, him and her practice all kinds of rituals. Don't let your mind go there. Granted, they have a 14-year-old daughter who hates her mom and dad's religion, because she's going to school and everybody at school knows that her mom and dad worship Satan and they won't have anything to do with her. Okay? I hope that they chase her right into the loving arms of Jesus. But anyway, that's what's going on in this country, and you're going to see a rise of that, no doubt at all. 2 Corinthians 11. This man is a false apostle, and it's like the most obvious of all things is to be a Satan worshiper. Most people do not know that they are Satan worshipers, but they are. And here's the thing about Satan worship. You do not have to believe in Satan to be a Satan worshiper. To be a Christian, you have to believe the Word of God. You have to believe the Bible. You have to believe in Jesus. But to be a Satan worshiper, you don't need to be, you don't need to believe in Satan. You don't have to believe in any of his religions. You don't have to believe the Satanic Bible. Belief is not one of the requirements of Satan worship. Works is. Works is always the devil's religion. And it basically says, because I can perform and achieve certain things, then God must like me better than he loves everybody else, or I am better than anybody else, and that's Satanism. Anytime you have a hierarchy among men, where one group of men sees themselves as being better than other men, that's Satan worship. That's Satanism at its core. And it's like I said, Laura, there are hierarchies among angels, and there are low-level angels that higher-level, let me see, I'll use the word devils, low-level devils that higher-level devils will demand that they take a fall for the greater good. In other words, we routinely throw each other under the bus, okay? And so I do believe that among practitioners of the various occult arts, that there is a fight even amongst themselves. They don't get along. So, anyway, 2 Corinthians 11, 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. At some point in this, what was his name? Did I read his name?
Adam.
Yeah, Adam Daniels. Yeah, two names out of the Bible, and that's what he called himself. But the last part of this article said that part of what he does in his religion is blaspheme. And he said, we'll burn Bibles, we'll burn Jewish books, we'll burn Buddhist texts, will burn the Quran. Basically, any religion, said we're told to blaspheme that religion, and especially Bible Christianity. So they will routinely burn Bibles as part of their rituals. And that is, he feels that he is called to blaspheme God. If you hold your place there, 2 Corinthians, and turn to Revelation 13, you'll see why. Revelation 13. In verse, this is the description of the beast. And verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. If you look back at verse 1, on those seven heads is the name of blasphemy. And so the beast himself and his spirit is a spirit of blasphemy. It is to say things and utter things that are not true about God. What is the unpardonable sin? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit and expect to be forgiven. I think that that's related to the Bible, the Word of God, because Saul rejected the Word of the Lord, and God said, I'm not going to hear you apologize anymore. I'm not going to hear your repentance. I don't care about your sorrow. And Saul tried to repent of that, or made like an attempt at looking like he repented. And Samuel said, no, forget it. I'm not hearing that. I'm not forgiving you. And as at that point, Saul, God no longer had mercy on Saul. So I kind of think it's related to your rejection of the word of the Lord. These people here have obviously rejected God's word to the point that they blaspheme it by burning it, doing other various unseemly things to it. Take your Bible now and turn to Psalm 58. This is where The week before last, I touched on this, but I'm going to go from here and move forward. Psalm chapter 58. We're learning about Satan. We're learning about his tactics, how he works, who he is, what his nature is, and so on, what he does. I had the blessing, the privilege of talking to pastors, both in Samburu and in Turkana, and I'm going to share a little bit of this during the message, but they all wanted me to express to you people here, to you people online, their sincere thanksgiving for the ministry that we have over there. These pastors, they live in areas where nobody goes there. And if you were in, if you've ever been to Turkana, they called Turkana the West Texas of Kenya. Who knows what I'm talking about? West Texas. You ever been to West Texas? Okay, it is the armpit of America, almost. It's very hot, very arid, very dry, tumbleweeds, things like that. And Turkana, you could film any number of American Westerns in Turkana and get away with it. It is a very dry, I don't know why people live there, to be honest with you, but they do. But anyway, those are two places where there is not a lot of missionary work in either of those areas. And so these men are pastors, but they, for the most part, have not had any formal training or informal training. One man at the meeting with the pastors in Turkana, he was kind of, I was told that he was someone that likes to argue a lot. He was an older man. But I perceived that he was probably close to being illiterate. And he was pastoring a church. I don't see somebody being able to pastor well not being able to read. Okay? So I'm not trying to pass judgment on the poor man. I mean, I loved him, but he was very argumentative to me. And there was like four of us tried four different ways of explaining something to him, and he still, all he wanted to do was argue about it. But I just kind of perceived that he could not read the Bible very well. And so it's a place where what we're doing up there is very, very much needed. And my mind is on these men today because it's Sunday. They're with their churches. And I want you to pray for them, all right? Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. And if you look over in Psalm 140, verse 1, and the reason why I'm giving you these, I know I gave these to you a couple Sundays ago, but there's a reason why, because we're going to see a story that portrays this. Psalm 140, verse 1. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagineth mischief in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. So we have two verses here that mention the evil people, the wicked man. These are your false teachers, your Satan worshipers. That's that kind of crowd who that is. False teachers, false prophets everywhere. And boy, I got this guy on my mind. The man that picked me up from the airport in Turkana, he owns the rental cars in that area. That's who we have to rent a car from every time we go there. And so Mike had arranged for him to pick us all up from the Turkana airport. And when I got in his car, he did a double take. I said, "Hi, I'm Mike." And he went, "Oh, you're Mike." Yeah. And so anyway, I shook hands with him, and he drove us around various places. Well, I noticed that he was at the pastor's meeting. And he identified himself as Seventh-day Adventist. Now, they're the ones in Turkana that don't like me. But he took notes on just about everything I said, and I made it a point to show what the Bible says about hell with him while he was there. And he acted like he had never read that in Scripture before. Seventh-day Adventists tell everybody that hell is annihilation. That once you go to hell, you're burned up and become nothing anymore. You have no conscious awareness of being in hell after you're burned up. And I read Matthew 25, "These shall go into everlasting punishment." And to me, that's very, very clear. The punishment lasts everlasting. And I just glanced over at him, and he was listening to me, staring off, and he was writing what I said down. So I'm hoping and praying that he will go to the Scriptures instead of what Ellen White told him to say, that he will go to the Scriptures and read it for himself what the Bible says about hell. That series I just did on hell, they need up there. Okay? They need it. Because we take for granted that we automatically know what hell is. Some of these people never heard it before. So you just pray for him, all right? Anyway, here's where I'm going with this. Turn to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. The false teachers, false prophets, false teachers, liars, deceivers, dreamers of dreams, you name it. Here's where I see God taking the churches right now. Because remember, the teachers, the false teachers, the false preachers, the false prophets, and the false Bibles, both verses said that they have poison under their tongues, which means they're not going to bite you, they're going to talk to you. And their poison, does anybody here have any training? Do you know what serpent's poison does? How it kills somebody? I just got started. Does anybody know how it kills somebody? What does it do? Breaks down the... Yeah, it prevents... Make sure I get this right. It stops the body from clotting. Okay? That's part of it. If it gets to the heart, you're dead. Okay? I was told in Hunter Safety Course that there are no deadly snakes in Missouri. I don't agree with that. I think if you get bit by a copperhead, you better get yourself to a doctor real quick. Okay? Don't wait for Tonto to cut X in you and suck it out, all right? Get to a doctor. But basically, it attacks, listen to this, it attacks the blood. And the life, the Bible said, the life is in the blood. And when they start attacking the blood atonement, they're attacking the cross. And I want you to get this. Most false, in fact, I will say all false teachers, false prophets, false gospels, they will always attack the cross in some way. They will say to you that it's not totally necessary, that you have to pay for some of your sins, or yes, you can be saved by the cross, but then you have to do good works in order to stay saved, and if you don't do this, then you're not saved, you're going to lose your salvation, or whatever. They're always going to attack the cross and the blood atonement of Christ with their words, and that's going to kill you spiritually. So in Numbers 21, I know the bell rang and I haven't said a whole lot. But anyway, we have the story of them murmuring. Let me read this and we'll get into it next Sunday morning. They journeyed from Mount Hor. This is verse 4, Numbers 21, 4. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I've been there and so have you. The people spake against God and against Moses. I've thought about it. Okay? Wherefore have you brought us, or why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? I've thought that before. God, why'd you carry me along this far only to just drop me and leave me. Well, I was wrong. God didn't. But I felt that way at times. So they murmured against God. God, why'd you drag us up? Why didn't you just let us die in Egypt? For there's no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And when you see these serpents biting the people of Israel, think of serpents' poison being under their tongues. So think of the false teachers, the false prophets, the false religions, doctrines of devils. Think of false Bibles that tell lies, that speak lies and hypocrisy. Think along those lines, because they're not biting people, they're speaking to them. But the words that they're using, they're deadly words. They're not words of life, they're deadly words. Paul said concerning Hymenaeus and Philetus, he said, their word doth eat as a canker. And I might show you sometime how cancer kills you. What happens is the cell is supposed to divide and make a new cell, and it's supposed to make a copy of all of its DNA. So it goes to the new cell, and the new cell is just like the old cell. But something happens in that transcription process, and the DNA doesn't get copied to the new cell right. And so instead of that cell giving life to you, the instructions are garbled, and all it's going to do is create poison. It's going to kill you. And the word canker means consuming. Canker sores. Cancer itself is a consuming disease. Once one cell ends up that way, it recreates itself, and now you're two cells. Now you're 20. Now you're at 100. Now it's starting to take over an entire organ. And that cancer is going to kill you because it's not giving you life, and it's consuming that which does. It's the same process with lies and false doctrines and false teachers. And what the serpent did to Eve was he spoke words to her that caused her to disobey God's commandment. God's commandment would have been life, but it caused her to disobey. Now it brings death into the world. And that's the danger of false ways. Why can't I just let everybody go to the church of their choice and leave these people alone? Because I know what's going on. I know what's happening when people are listening to lies. It's poisoning them, and it's going to kill them spiritually. And they're not going to make it. So I'm like David. I hate every false way, and I want nothing to do with it. And I want to try to intervene in somebody's life between what's true and what's not true, and try to cause them to believe the truth of the Word of God and only the Word of God. But the people, God sent fiery serpents among them because of their sins. Their sins. So think about why all the false teachers, why all the false prophets. It's because these people that listen to this stuff, they'd rather keep their sin than know the truth. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us back safely. Father, every plane trip, Lord, you were in charge of. We thank you, Lord, for carrying us about safely in every place we've gone. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us back here to this place. Father, I thank you for Bethel and what you're doing in this church. I pray, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, the good work that you've started here. Bless these good people. Bless those that are watching online. Father, they're as much a part of this as anybody. And I pray, dear God, that you would just richly bless them this morning with your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.